previously.tv podcast network.
Hey, can we stop the man bashing for a couple minutes here, guys?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode, Season 8, Episode 15, Ready or Not. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hi, Sarah.
Hello, Tara and Dave. Are you ready or not?
Not.
Well, given that was our second attempt at the intro, I'm going to say not. I could not get my wife's last name correct apparently in the last one.
It's a lot of syllables, and they're all the vowels are pointing different ways. It's fine.
I've always said the Irish and the Italians are very inconsiderate with their names.
It's true. Sarah, shall we get into this?
Yes, because then we can get out of it.
Indeed. Let's start with the stupidest storyline, our C plot. Donna finds a roommate even worse than David. So the premise here is that Carly's mom, who, as we'll recall, has fucked off to Arizona with her man friend, apparently threw out a lot of mail that she thought was junk mail, including mail that was not junk mail, like a notice from the landlord that Carly's place was going to be earthquake retrofitted. So Donna offers to let Carly and Zach stay with her, which makes sense since she has, as I harp on every fucking time it comes up, two unused bedrooms that she's paying for no reason. Although, I mean, now this is the reason, I guess.
Yeah.
But later, so we'll see in the visual aids at previously.tv, they, like, this is, so I assumed this was temporary and he was just, like, sleeping on whatever bed was still left over there from when Kelly and or David lived there. But it's all of, like, the furniture from his room, like a bed with stickers on it, and they're putting up a bunch of, like, pictures on his walls and stuff. Like, I don't get what is happening here.
Yeah, I don't either. And spoiler, I, like, elected not to care because yet another contrivance will take him out of all of our lives soon enough. So I was like, all right, I guess they live at Donna's now. Cool. It's well, like, what's his name's house that everyone was cycling in and out of for like 2 months?
Oh, yeah, right. What was that guy's name? Kelly's Mark? Old boyfriend. Mark! Remember Mark?
Brandon Walsh. What?
Yeah. So the other story, the other thread of this, I hesitate to call it a storyline because it's so stupid, but Donna is still trying to be a fashion designer as well as like doing styling on the side. And so she's putting together all these sketches for some presentation. And when she gets there, oh no, Zach has colored on them. But the guy she's presenting to thinks she's great because Donna can do no wrong in season 8. Boo! The end. On to something slightly meatier. Our B plot, Val and David hate Donna and Noah featuring Duke. So Val is pissed. Then in addition to all the other work that she does at the club, she also has to bartend and only gets 10% of the profits. And Noah reminds her that that's the deal they made. But, like, I don't think not hiring qualified staff was part of the deal. Like, she's not a bartender. She's supposed to be managing it. Fuck off, dude.
Yeah. Well, and also just quit then, Val. Come on.
Well, yes. But so then in the Peach Pit After Dark bathroom, David creepily spies on Noah buying a condom from the machine.
It is really gross. Also, David was totally emerging from the poo stall, so don't think you're better than anybody, Silver.
Whatever. Well, furthermore, but like, I mean, everyone knows now that, he's...
Come on.
The poo stall.
Isn't it, Dave? Well, isn't it?
I guess. I just never heard it called that, and that's very funny to me.
I mean the only
in a men's room, if there's only one stall, it's all the poo stall.
You know, it's a slight tangent. We give Tom Arnold in pop culture a lot of shit, but his poo stall scene in Austin Powers was fucking hilarious.
Gonna blow out an O-ring. Drop a lung. Yeah.
Now back to our show.
Yeah, back to this nonsense. So everyone knows that Noah is a millionaire now. Like, unpinch a penny and get a condom that isn't definitely going to break, maybe. Just a thought. Yeah. Anyway.
It's like it says prophylactic, but it's got a K at the end.
Ye old Jimmy hat.
So then David comes out to wash his hands because he just shat and to get pissy with Noah about his having, according to David, taken his girl and his club, which he's still not over. And then he goes out to the bar to whine to Val that Noah and Donna are on their way out to fuck. And Val and her amazing boobs, which absolutely you can see them in the visual aids.
Yes.
They really look good behind that bar. Don't think Donna would move that fast, but even if Donna and Noah are sleeping together, Val and David agree that they don't care, which they definitely do. And the next day, David is working at the fucking car wash when Noah brings his car in, and he and Donna both get out and say they didn't know this was David's car wash. Like, guys, you can still leave, which as soon as you saw he was there, you should have just made a beeline. That's what would have made everybody happy.
Yeah. Although also, he's not operating on you. It's an undercarriage spray. Ew. Sorry. I was halfway through the word carriage, and I was like, oh, God. Wrong choice.
Anyway, so Noah takes off to go and wait somewhere, and this happens. Clip two.
This was an accident.
Really? I thought maybe you guys just rolled out of bed and decided to get your car washed and rub my nose in.
What is that supposed to mean?
You made me wait 7 years before you slept with me. You haven't even made Noah wait 7 weeks.
Look, I don't know what you're talking about, but you really are in no position to criticize me the way you flaunt your sex life with Valerie.
Well, Valerie and I aren't sleeping together.
Well, everyone at the Walsh House heard you guys.
No, they heard us faking it. We were just doing it to make you and Noah jealous. All right, it was stupid. Let's just drop it.
I didn't know. David.
I'm so sick of the, you made me wait 7 years. Like, you, if it was that important to you, you could have broken up. If you loved her, then, like, that's the deal. That was her deal. Stop acting so, like, violated that her convictions were so inconvenient to your tiny boners. Because no one
also,
cares.
Also, you didn't break up because of that.
Right.
You broke up because you fucking stole from her. A fact that everybody seems to have forgotten.
Yeah.
Also.
Yes, David. Oh, good.
I just. Oh, God. Also, he needs to stop putting a right in every single line of his dialogue because it makes him sound like an even bigger dick than he already is.
Yeah.
I just. And, like, you didn't wait. You cheated on her.
Yeah, you cheated on her.
I just
And then
don't.
You fucked, like, at least two other girls. And maybe Ginger. We never really got to the bottom of that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, whatever.
David!
Oh, and the girl that gave him crabs. So he's been around in that time.
You've got crabs, ass face.
Yeah, Ariel gave him crabs, though, right?
No, I thought it was some... Was it? I thought it was some other broad. Oh. No, you're right. You're right.
Listeners, tell us the origin of the crabs. Yeah, it really doesn't matter. I just don't understand why the show clearly has no idea that he is frequently surpassing Brandon in the douche department lately.
Oh, like, yeah. The show is taking his side. Like, the show is acting like she's being really inconsiderate. Like, no, she's moved on with her life because he stole from her and is an asshole.
Yeah.
Anyway, Donna and Noah laugh about David and Val's scheme to make them jealous. Noah is not going to work tonight, and as he starts kissing on Donna, she says she's not free because she has to work on the presentation we already heard about. Noah hopes it's just that because he can't help noticing that they still haven't boned, I'm paraphrasing, and Donna tells him that David is the only guy she's ever slept with, and then things fell apart, so she needs more time. And in her room, Val comes on to David, who puts her off also. She says that when he kissed her on Christmas Eve, it felt real, and he whines that he has to toil all day at the car wash and then come home knowing that Val wants a guy who's a Noah equivalent, which she denies, but come on. And he's also jealous of Noah because of Donna, and she reminds him that Donna is his ex. And then, God, Steve and Brandon head down to the car wash and offer David as a job as their music critic. Evidence David can write... None. First of all. Second, he's clearly a terrible employee and has been at every place he's ever worked, including the one he owned, which he burned down, was living there at the time. And more proof that David is a bad employee when his boss comes over to see what's happening. David quits on the spot with zero notice. Classic. So stupid.
Yeah. And takes the smock. What a tool.
Yeah. So then Val's at the peach pit counter chatting with Nat about sports night, her latest innovation at the club, not the show, when Duke enters and Nat has to tell her who he is and also us, because it's not Billy Vera. It's a new Duke. You can see him in the visual aids. And Nat comes over to vaguely threaten Duke not to do his bookie shit at the Peach Pit anymore, but Duke is there because he saw the Sports Night flyers somehow. Nat says the club is Val's business, so Duke says he should go talk to her, and Nat orders him to stay away from her, and Duke agrees, but I bet this is not over. And then Don is helping Carly pack for the move, which we already talked about, and extremely rudely takes a box of condoms, Sarah, the brand.
Be sure.
You're right. Out of the medicine cabinet. Makes a face as she asks if they're hers. Like, no, they're Zach's. What the fuck, Donna? But Carly laughs that they're for Steve. And Donna even more rudely asks when Carly and Steve had sex. Carly says it was when the time is right. This conversation is, like, indistinguishable from if Carly was having it with, like, a 10-year-old who was trying to understand what sex is, by the way.
Yeah. And also, it's indistinguishable from the 17 times Donna almost boned David and didn't and had this conversation mm-hmm. with Kelly. In a yeah. baby voice, like, ugh, yeah.
Anyway.
I just, like, did my nails during the scene, because who cares?
Yeah, the only other thing that's notable about this is that Donna is wearing an extremely dark, unflattering shade of lipstick, and it was the late 90s, and I had it. It was a Revlon Color Stay. Sorry, everybody. Mistakes were made. I know better now, and I do better.
Did you pair it with a Tonya Harding shade of eyeshadow for daytime?
Oh, yeah, of course. Sure, of course. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
I know you had a Cleavern.
Don't say that.
I'm just, jeez.
That's not true. I have normal cleavage. Val comes home to find David there, proving how he got a job as a music critic. Clip 3. Oh my God, Sarah, you put in the doc jazz tootling, and of course that was the exact word that I used in mine.
Yeah, of course. I mean, infernal tootling, might I add. But I think we can both agree that David is so much worse than jazz.
Oh
so
boy.
Much worse.
Yeah. So he tells her about the beat job and says that Steve and Brandon gave him a cash advance out of what money, I would like to know. But now he can start thinking about getting his own place with what furniture, I would also like to know. Val is hurt and thinks it's about Donna, but David says it's about Val. He likes spending time with her, but they have too much of a history. Also, clip 4.
I'm also afraid of dealing with another shock.
Yes, David, you fell down. You lost a job and a girlfriend, but you didn't whine and you didn't quit.
What? He did both.
He did nothing but both of those.
Non-stop. Non-fucking-stop. He's still complaining and quitting. He just quit a job today.
You know what he hasn't quit? The hands to his face, stressed out blocking, sticking to that one.
Ugh.
Oh my God, stop acting like you're doing anyone a favor, least of all someone with those breasts, which you shouldn't even be in the same room as, you idiot! You are entitled to fuck all!
And yet, then things turn flirty and I'm disgusted. So, on to sports night, it's the club's best night yet. Val wants a new deal from Noah, and he's like, it's been 2 weeks. And she put up no money, so no, I'm kind of with him. And then Val spots Duke extremely openly taking bets. You can see in the visual aids how little he is, like, trying to be sly at all.
Yes, this will also be an ongoing theme. That it's just, mm-hmm. like, basically a briefcase with a giant arrow hovering over it that's, like, you know, ill-begotten cashish. Like,
right.
I mean, is it actually your first day as Duke? Like, literally? Because that's
yes.
not how this works. But
okay. He might as well have, like, a bank, like a cartoon bag with a big dollar sign on it, like,
yes.
under his elbow for how much he's trying to hide what he's doing. Anyway, Duke cheerfully introduces himself. Val says that Nat told her the story and she doesn't want him doing business there until he proposes that she let him operate there, for which he'll cut her in for 25%. She counters with a third. They have a deal. And then Donna comes
How does Val plan to verify his earnings again?
Well, she's going to be collecting all the cash, I thought.
Oh, okay.
So how does he vow? How does he? I guess she has to keep.
Yes. I mean, yeah, like none of this, whatever. All I know about book comes from The Sopranos, but even that is more than these writers knew.
Yeah. I just know from the Law and Order with what's his face, Bodak and Rako Aylesworth in The Coat.
Oh, yeah.
The Good Samaritan. Look it up. Anyway, Donna comes over to tell David how relieved she was to find out he actually hadn't moved on with Val, whatever. David snorts that she and Noah have moved on, and she says they're seeing each other, but that's it. Not that it's remotely his business, like, at all. Not that she says that, of course. So then David tells her that actually now he and Val have slept together. Not that that's her business either, and then she's pissed that he's throwing it in her face. Both of you jump off a cliff. And then she makes the extremely mature decision to go tell Noah to bring her home now, and tells him on their way out that now David and Val are sleeping together, so Noah is pissed that she only wants to fuck him in retaliation. Maybe also mixed in there is, how good could it be if she's only slept with one other guy and it was David,
but and it he was doesn't David.
Anyway, it's what he wants, but he wants it for the right reasons, and maybe she should go home alone tonight, and she is duly shamed. And the next day, Duke brings Val her cut. Okay, so he was collecting at least that. And he suggests that guys might be more interested in placing bets with her than him, and her take would be double what she made the night before. What could possibly go wrong? Celebrating the job she improbably got, Noah and Donna say they love each other, and then we have to follow the smooth jazz to their hotel room and watch a fucking montage of fucking.
Oh, it goes There's on so, much so long. And so they still, at no point do they learn how to kiss. Spoiler.
Very tongue, much wet.
Oh.
Let's close it up with our A plot. Kelly and Brandon battle their nemeses. So Emma very professionally finds Brandon at the Peach Pit after dark to deliver a hard copy of her latest column, which Kelly also very professionally snatches away to read. Clip 5.
I can't believe your friend slept with that guy even though he was still with his girlfriend. That is so low.
Well, then you'll definitely enjoy this installment. He gets her into bed, and then afterward, of course, conveniently regrets it.
Yeah.
I mean, this storyline is idiotic in the extreme, obviously, but I will give it this. It makes everyone involved look like an idiot and an asshole. Mm-hmm. So, how bad could it be? Oh, wait, it's still really bad.
It is. As they all prepare to head out, Emma asks the time and sees that Kelly is wearing the watch that she bought Brandon. Oh, no. And at the clinic the next day, Kelly is still there for some reason, even though the last episode really made it seem like she was leaving, I thought.
Yeah.
But whatever, she's still there.
Oh, Jesus.
So
whatever.
Dr. Monahan pulls her aside to be a pissy bitch at her about reporting him to Audrey and basically says that if he leaves the clinic over this, he'll just end up making more money and she'll be responsible for the deaths of everyone he can't treat there, basically. And at the beat, Brandon and Steve interview Janet, good old Lindsay Price, who doesn't have a lot of experience but is passionate about small presses and promises to give them 110%, and they hire her on the spot because she's the only applicant. She is there to replace their last production manager, Terry. Brandon says she eloped, so congratulations, Terry. You deserve better, and we hope you got it. Wow.
Yeah. Also, Terry did not elope. Terry is at home, updating her resume, eating ice cream from the carton, and not dealing with Steve and Brandon and their unprofessional, idiotic bullshit that forces her to stay until nearly closing every night.
Mm-hmm. So enter Emma, standing in the doorway, glaring at Brandon. He goes over to try to do damage control about the watch, but she is very, 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 very angry about it. He tells her that he's not going to break up with Kelly and that he thinks that Emma should leave the paper. And right on cue, Kelly enters. Clip 6.
Oh, I have had the worst morning.
Oh, you poor thing.
You know that doctor I told you about, Monahan? Well, I didn't officially report him, but he found out.
Let's go somewhere.
If I don't quit, he's going to make my life a living hell.
Kel, I want you away from him, but I don't think you should run away from this.
I couldn't agree more. You know, any boss who even hints that you should leave because he made sexual advances at you, wanted or unwanted, is a jerk.
She's right.
You shouldn't let yourself be victimized.
Exactly. If I were you, I would stay right where you are. Right, Brandon?
Oh boy.
Uh-oh.
So Kelly comes back to the clinic to find out that Dr. Monahan has just hired her replacement and is claiming that Kelly resigned. Whatever to this timeline, Kelly follows him and whines that she can't believe he did this. She wanted to help people, and now she's filing a formal complaint, and he's all, I started this clinic, I am this clinic, blah, blah, and then fires her. Like, got it. But then Kelly is telling Emma the story in the Walsh kitchen where they're making dinner, and Emma says she'll use Kelly's watch to time the pasta. Comments that it's a man's watch. Did Kelly know that? Kelly says that's why she likes it. And when Kelly goes to the door to greet Brandon, Emma tosses the watch in the boiling water, and the show is trying to make it out like this is the Fatal Attraction bunny boiling, like it's a watch from Fossil. It's a $40 watch, max.
Oh, God.
But just to make sure, she also smashes it with a wooden spoon before yelling to Kelly and fishing it out and setting Brandon up savagely in Clipset.
Brandon, where'd you get it?
Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it.
Well, I want to replace it.
I'll do it.
Just tell me where you got it.
Brandon, if she wants to.
I don't remember, okay?
Well, you just got it for Christmas.
Yeah, I know. I just, I can't remember right now, but I will.
Well, you let me know the minute you do. I'm kind of a stickler for payback.
You could seriously smell his pants filling like 5 times. It's pretty great. I mean, it's idiotic, but it's great.
Yes. So over dinner, Emma regales Kelly with the story of her homewrecking friend and the guy who gave her gift to his girlfriend. And Kelly, not making any connections at all, thinks the guy is a pig and that Emma's column reminds her of how lucky she is to have a guy like Brandon. Oh, the tragic irony. Emma thinks that Dr. Monahan should be enough of a living reminder of how great Brandon is by comparison, and that Mrs. Monahan probably has no idea how her husband treats women who work under him. Wah. And Brandon brays that Kelly will do the right thing. Emma thinks Kelly needs to let other people hear how Dr. Monahan talks to her, and so Kelly leaves the room, and Emma gloats to Brandon in clip 8.
This girl just attracts all the wrong kind of guys. Harassing doctors, cheating boyfriends. She's a regular country and western song.
I want you to get the hell out of my house, and I want you to stay away from my girlfriend. There's nothing between us. There never was. There never will be. Do you understand?
Ooh! Shut up, little man.
Surely that will be the end of it. Not really. Later, we find out that the Walsh house has been getting a lot of hang-up calls, but what do you know? When Brandon picks up, it's Emma. He tells Kelly it's a source for a story, and when she goes upstairs, Emma gets into their issues in clip 9.
Did you just kiss her?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
I don't want to know.
What do you want?
Tonight, I just had to see the two of you together. I know you really love her.
This has got to stop.
You said you were sorry.
I am too. I just...
Ah, come on, don't do this.
You did feel something, didn't you?
Being in my bed?
Making love to me? It was good, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, okay? Emma, you're beautiful and you're smart. Don't waste your time on me.
Well, I guess that's all I wanted to hear.
I'll clear my stuff out of the office tomorrow.
You don't have to be there.
I think we're finally doing the right thing. Goodbye, Emma.
Making love to me. It was good, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Okay, Emma, you're beautiful and you're smart.
She recorded him in a shocking twist.
Also, what stuff at the beat office?
Yeah.
New beat office. Sorry. Gross.
But yeah, why does she have a desk? Like, she's not on staff. That was the whole thing.
Yeah.
Whatever. Speaking of, Kelly tricks Dr. Monahan into picking up her box of stuff at the clinic. And turns on the intercom so that Audrey and Brandon can hear him tell her to toughen up and then essentially tell her that he will give her a good recommendation if she sleeps with him Whereupon Brandon intervenes with Audrey close behind, firing him. Dr. Monahan tries to scare Audrey into changing her mind by mentioning the bad headlines the Foundation will get for closing a free clinic. But Kelly's already lined up Donna's dad to replace Dr. Monahan because, yes, for sure, the stroke patient who retired from his own practice due to stress absolutely should run a free clinic by himself. Great idea.
Just hang up some little, what were those? The prisms. I'm sure everything will be just fine, except for the seizure patients, but fuck them.
Yeah. So Brandon shows up at the beat as Janet heads out and Emma is packing up the desk that she, for some reason, has. And also for some reason, he tells her that he was at the clinic while Kelly took Emma's advice on exposing Dr. Monahan. And she says, if you give a guy like that a little rope, he'll hang himself. And Brandon then stalks out to his car where he finds an envelope on his windshield, puts the tape inside his tape deck in his car because it's the 90s. And here's his conversation with Emma. Oh, no. The end. Most valuable player. Duke, the only person who has figured out how to make money in the Peach Pit / Peach Pit After Dark building.
Yeah. Content with that.
All right. Least valuable player. Brandon, too stupid to know when he's being entrapped by someone who would obviously have a phone recorder for interviews. She is a writer.
Yeah, I was going to say David because David, but Brandon hired David in addition to being Brandon.
Oh my God,
so
yes.
I agree, Brandon.
Yep. Good one. All right. User submitted challenge.
I scored some amazing stones.
At the Crazed Spruce wants us to list 5 ways Val could have monetized the other plot lines in the episode. Well, she could have tried to glom back onto stupid Donna with the whole fashion presentation business.
She could have updated the condom dispenser.
Yes, yes. She could have tried to talk her way into a cut of the car wash with her boobs, and it might have worked.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was going to be my next one. She could have consulted with Emma on how best to blackmail Brandon for cash instead of his dick.
Oh, my God. Now that's all I want to see. Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
She could have also figured out how to blackmail Dr. Monahan, probably, since he probably still has some money from before he was a clinic doctor.
Yeah, probably.
Well, that makes 5.
Okay. Next time on Again With This, Zach gets lost at the mall, David gets inspired by the victim of his very first beat review, and after what feels like a month of misdirection stuff, Brandon finally gets the boot thanks to his quote affair with Emma. You'll be having a torrid one-nighter with an emphasis basin when you get a load of the visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This. You can find those on our website at previously.tv. You can find that website on Twitter at previously.tv, and you can follow this very podcast at AWT90210. I am Cassette of Damocles, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Stickler for Payback, Tara Ariano. She is on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is Duke Classic Truther, David T. Cole. He is on Twitter, at Clark. Talk to you next time.
Our producer is Poostal.
Correct.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoni.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.